hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off. Today is my VBAC baby's birthday. I cannot believe that it has been 8 years since that little boy joined our family. And today I wanted to kind of share or reshare his story. I know I've done it in the past, but I invited my husband, Rick, to share this story again for you. And maybe I might just give him a couple questions and see kind of how he felt about it from his perspective. When we were going through pregnancy and preparing for me, it was just like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And I would always go and just kind of say, hey, these are my thoughts. And to be honest, I don't even know if I really gave him a ton of opportunity to share his exact thoughts because I was so driven and just wanted to get this. So we're going to dive more into his thoughts and his perspective of the birth because we know so many dads out there are also a little hesitant when it comes to the idea of VBAC because the world as we know it, talks about VBAC in a very poor manner, and it can be a very scary thought. So we'll be diving in that today in just one moment. We have a review of the week, so I wanted to get to that before we get into Webster's birth story. This is from Katie Warren 11. It says, I wish I would have found this sooner. It says, I am loving the show. I wish I would have heard these before my last baby. I was planning on a VBAC 7 years after my first baby and just kind of thought it would happen. Didn't realize I might have to fight for it. Ooh, that just gave me the chills. Says, I got to the week of my due date and my body didn't seem at all ready. And then they were estimating her to be 9 pounds, 12 ounces. And the doctor told me, no option, you're getting a C-section. After listening to these stories, I now know that there were other options. Thank you, Katie Warren 11, for sharing your review. I want you to know you're not alone. There are so many of us that get to the point at the end of our due date and we're being told our babies are too big or our bodies aren't working because they're not dilated yet or whatever it may be. There's lots of scenarios that people are told. But there are options. You have options. And that is definitely what this podcast is about, is helping you learn and grow and know your options. So thank you, Katie, again. And as always, if you have one moment, we would love to hear your review of the show. It really does help the show grow. It helps other women of strength find these stories and help them know their options as well. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. You can even Google the VBAC link and leave us a review there. Or if you would like, you can just email us a review and let us know what your thoughts are. We always throw those into our spreadsheet as well. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Okay, you guys, as I mentioned, I have my husband, Rick. Hey, hon.
Hello, everyone.
I'm sure he's just so excited that he is here. But really, I wanted to go through the experience from your perspective on VBAC, and not only just the birth, but also before and us deciding to birth out of the hospital. I was already kind of a crazy pants when we were trying to conceive because we really wanted a boy. So I was really dialed into that. Then once we found out that we were pregnant, I really, really just wanted to find someone to help me through the journey of VBAC. And I interviewed many, many, many providers. In fact, even before I was pregnant, which we know on the show, I've talked about it. It's really important to interview and look for providers before you're pregnant if you can. But I ended up finding a provider actually just right after I found out I was pregnant, right before I found out I was pregnant. And we went in and it seemed like a really great fit. And Rick, you seemed like you were pretty on board with the provider shift at that point.
Yeah. I mean, those who know Megan know that when she is passionate about something, it is very unlikely that she will be turned away, convinced otherwise. And so I just kind of went with the flow. But yeah, the provider seemed great. You seemed happy, which was most important.
Yeah. And just kind of a little quick back summary. How did you feel about the C-sections? Did they bug you at all? Did they affect you at all? Did it just seem normal?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know anything other than the C-sections. So
right. It
was normal. It was just that you were very unhappy with them, which was hard for me.
Yeah.
It was hard because I was stoked that we had the babies.
Right.
And you were upset with yourself, with the provider.
Yeah.
And I didn't share those feelings because I didn't know.
Yeah. It was hard because, like you said, like we were so happy that we had our baby, but I was in this cloud of, I don't know if I want to say doom, but just unsettled cloud.
Like dissatisfied.
Yeah, I was dissatisfied. Okay, so we find this provider and everything's going really great. This provider at the time was the VBAC provider in Utah. Everybody went to him and he was amazing. And he flat out said, you know, after reviewing my op reports that said my pelvis was too small and my baby would probably never come out of a pelvis and that my body didn't know how to dilate, that he, you know, he really agreed that I just probably wasn't given a fair chance and he didn't understand why we wouldn't be able to go forward. But at 24 weeks, I attended a birth just before that with a midwife out of hospital that blew me away. And I immediately knew that I wanted to go talk to her, which was kind of interesting because we never really discussed birthing out of the hospital. But I went and met with her and I told you, hey, I want to birth out of hospital. Now you knew nothing but C-sections. You were okay with me finding a provider, but how did you feel about the idea of birthing outside of the hospital?
I don't think I was that excited about it. I was okay switching providers, but not being in the hospital was worrisome. I actually think, didn't you broach the subject on birthing from home?
And I think I did.
I immediately put the kibosh on
that. You're
like,
no.
And so I think that when you initially discussed birthing outside of a hospital, you gave a couple of options of a birth center or a birth from home. And so that was too big of a jump for me from hospital to from home was too big of a jump for me. So we went and did we go to multiple birth centers or just one?
We just went to one and we interviewed with a different provider than the one I met, but it was at the same birth center that the provider that I met would have birthed at. So we met with another midwife at the birth center.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah. No, the midwife was cool too.
Yeah. She was really awesome. Great. Yeah. So did you, as we were there, did you feel like, oh, okay. Like once you saw it, did you feel more comfortable or?
Yeah. Cause it seemed more medically. I don't know the word for it, but it just seemed like, oh, hey, things looked sterile. and which was a big deal for me. And it just made it seem like, yeah, it's not the hospital, but at the same time, if, can I swear on this podcast?
Sure.
If shit hit the fan, that we were in a better circumstance than trying to find gauze and stuff in our
home. Yeah. Yeah. Which for those who are birthing at home, typically your midwives would bring all of that to the birth, but we didn't get there.
So oh, I
explain.
Know that.
Yeah. We didn't even get to the point.
I don't even know if I would even let you
get to that point.
Yeah.
Okay. So then fast forward, labor begins. Oh, actually we hired a doula. Multiple doulas.
You have these two mentors, yes, in the doula community here. And you said, I definitely want to hire them. And so we did. Those two mentors were in a group of three. Not only that, your really good buddy who became a doula, mm-hmm, about the same time and gone through the doula course with you, wanted to attend. And then your cousin, who is about as much of a doula as you can be without being a doula.
Seriously, yeah.
also had to attend the birth. So plus the midwife.
And the assistant.
There were a lot of people in that room.
Yeah.
Initially, when you said, hey, look, we're going to hire a doula because you were doing the doula stuff, I was totally on board.
Yeah.
I had no idea how many doulas would actually show up.
yeah, we had.
But they did.
And it was great. It was great. And kind of rewinding back, remember back with Lila, when I asked you if we could hire a doula or kind of broach that, you weren't super keen on that idea.
I don't remember that conversation.
You don't.
But I do remember our nurse being a doula.
Yes.
And she was awesome.
She was fantastic.
And that kind of solidified your desire to be a doula. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Taking a quick break to continue our earlier conversation about the importance of the right prenatals for pregnancy and beyond. As I mentioned, my favorite brand is Needed. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally intensive times for a woman's life. You don't have to feel so terribly nauseated or so depleted in the postpartum stage. A prenatal multi that optimally nourishes you can make all the difference between just getting by during and after pregnancy and feeling your very best. Let's not just survive, we definitely need and deserve to thrive. Needed is clinically backed, third-party tested, and formulated the best, in my opinion, prenatal vitamins. They took so much time to learn about women and why we are getting the bare minimum nutrients, and then designed the supplements that addresses women's needs at every stage of pregnancy and beyond. Needed's prenatals are filled with the optimal amount for both you and your baby and include important ingredients such as choline, folate, vitamin D, and more. Enjoy 20% off at thisisneeded.com with code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20. Back to today's episode.
Okay, so with all three of our kids, I, for some reason, have PROM. So if you don't know what PROM means, that's premature rupture of membranes. So my water broke with each kiddo, and my body just kind of took its sweet old time to kick into labor. And they say that's only 10% of women will experience that, but we're 3 for 3. So we're looking pretty.
Do they know the story about where I was when your water broke with Lila?
No, I don't know. No. That was another reason why I wish we had a doula. So going back to Lila's birth, second C-section.
Kind of just showing the progress of where Megan began as, hey, look, I trust my doctors. I'm going to do everything that they say on the first birth, second birth. opened my eyes as to how Megan was going to control the situation as much as she possibly could. So yeah, tell me where was I when your water? So
you were in Texas when my water broke with Lila. And as he mentioned, my cousin, she's pretty much a doula without the doula training. And she just is so loving and caring and was really excited because we wanted this VBAC. I wanted this VBAC really, really bad. And so yeah, Rick was out of town and my water broke and I was like, you should probably come home. And nothing was really happening at all, really. I was just leaking. And yeah, you got home, I don't know, probably like 6-7 hours later, right?
No, it was about 10.
Was it 10?
Yeah. And I assumed that you were going to go to the hospital.
Yes. I know you were not. Yeah. You were not happy when I was not at the hospital when you got home.
I walked in and you're sitting there naked in the bathtub. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? You were supposed to be in the hospital. Your water broke. Because for me, water breaks, you go to the hospital. For Megan, that's not necessarily the case.
Well, yeah, I think kind of going back to what you were saying, you know, a lot of providers actually say, if your water breaks, come right in. Even if labor's not going on. And through my research with Lila and the VBAC, I realized that I didn't necessarily need to just run right into the hospital, that I checked my vitals, all was well, everything was good. So we stayed and labored at home. And plus, I was waiting for you to get in town.
Yeah, but it kind of prepped me for what the next birth was going to look like.
Yeah. So
obviously, that birth ended up in another C-section. And you were really disappointed after that one.
Yeah.
You worked really, really hard.
I was, yeah.
And then with the next one, when you were, when we were going through options of birth center, doula, midwife, that instance where I flew home kind of in an emergency fashion as quickly as we could and came home to find you in the bathtub, realizing, you know, Megan is going to do what Megan wants to do.
Yeah. And so then when I breached when I told you, hey, let's birth out of hospital, did you kind of feel like she's going to do whatever she wants to do anyway? Or did you really, you felt more comfortable with the birth centers? Were you okay with that?
So yeah, it's hard to tell you no. But when we went to the birth center, I did feel significantly better about the birth, having a birth there.
Yeah. What had you heard about, or had you heard anything about VBAC just in general?
Nothing.
Nothing. So you really didn't know a ton?
No.
Didn't hear anything scary or anything?
No.
Okay. So, because a lot of dads out there do hear when they say, oh, my wife wants to VBAC, people are like, oh my gosh, it's so scary. So I think that can be really hard, especially if then their partner is saying, hey, I want to birth out of hospital. So, okay. So my water broke with Webb.
Mm-hmm.
At like 3 a.m. or something like that. Yeah. What do you remember about that? My water breaking. It was really in the middle of the night. I don't think I even told you until you woke up. Do you remember anything about that?
With Webb, that was where you labored forever, right?
Yeah. 42 hours.
So I don't remember that first morning. I remember the next night.
Yeah.
I didn't Hillary show up. Hillary's her cousin, everyone. Hillary showed up at like 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And you guys went out and walked around the neighborhood.
That was so the night.
Was that the first night?
No, that was the second morning. Yeah. So my water broke. And again, I have prom. So I'm like, oh, so frustrated. We had it was like I was 40 weeks, 3 days or 4 days. I had him at 40 weeks, 5 days. And we had a visit with Danielle. And I asked, my water had broken and I was sort of contracting a little bit here and there. And I asked if you would come up to Park City with me. So we went up to Park City and I went in and I did like my regular visit. And then she said, you're going to Christine. Christine at the time was my chiropractor. So we went to the chiropractor, you got me a Jamba, and we drove back down the mountain and came home. And my body just really wasn't going into labor. Just was kind of taking its time. So I went and took a nap which is really hard to do when you're in labor because your mind is so excited and you just want to have a baby, but I needed a nap. So I went in and I napped. It's weird. I can even like picture exactly how our room was set up that day, but took a snooze and woke up and I was sort of starting to contract. And then I actually went out into the driveway and threw a tantrum. Do you remember me throwing a tantrum in the driveway?
No.
Yeah. Cause
was that working? Was I at home?
Yeah, you were home. Okay. Yeah. My water, I threw a tantrum that my water broke and I just triggered and I was like, this is going to be the same. I'm going to have another C-section. And I was just like, so upset. And I remember our next door neighbor they have like this big pine tree and they were just like watching behind this pine tree, watching me throw this insane tantrum in our driveway. But yeah, so then that night, that's when you said you started remembering. So my cousin came over for a little bit and actually my doula came over and was doing like some Rebozo work and some things, but then they left and I really wanted to labor in my son's room, in our baby's room.
Yeah, but wasn't Hillary there?
She was for a little bit. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you ended up going to sleep because you were super tired. And again, labor wasn't crazy happening. I had Hillary there. We were just kind of hanging out. And that's when you were like, you came in
so,
with a pillow.
So we've got, I mean, it's not a big house, but we've got enough space where you can spread out. And so you don't have to wake everybody up with your, can I say moaning?
Yeah, I was moaning. I was moaning. I was coping through. Yeah. At that point I was contracting.
Yeah. And so there were three bedrooms right next to each other, but we had like a whole family room kind of on the other side of the house. And she could have done that and not woken everybody up. But instead,
woke you up.
You are so loud, though. You are so loud. And can I make the noise? Can I pretend like I'm?
Oh my gosh, sure. But you could be dramatizing it.
No, you exaggerate pain so much.
I don't think so.
You think you're great at handling pain.
I am.
You obviously are good enough, but the way you are great at handling it is by being really loud. And so,
opposed to your baby, everybody, just to let you know,
I don't know what that means, but you know, every where you're contracting, like every 5 minutes or so,
yeah, 5 days. Oh my gosh,
that's exactly how it was. Mm-hmm. And it was loud, and you were in the room right next to our two little girls and right across the hall from me. And so I was super frustrated because I was exhausted. I couldn't sleep. And of all the places you decided to labor, it was right next to everyone. And so I came in with a pillow and then threw it in your face and said, muffle yourself.
Oh my gosh. It was.
Guys, this is why.
The brightest moment.
This is why you hire a doula, because sometimes dads just don't get it.
Just don't get it. And you were tired. It was really late.
Need to excuse. I was being a complete jerk.
But this is why I love it. This is from your perspective. Because like in my perspective, I was not that loud. I was moaning for sure. I was coping. I had so much back labor. But yeah, it was so funny. So you throw the pillow in my face. You walk out and you leave. And Hillary, my cousin, was like, oh no, he didn't. She was just laughing. So we continued. We definitely were just, yeah, we were maybe quieter. I don't know.
No, you didn't leave the room.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
You were so stubborn. You were so stubborn. You probably were louder after that because you were so mad.
Find a space that you want to labor really, really. You're just coping well. You stay. But yeah, so then the next morning came around and one of my doulas was like up in the canyon. So she was not even getting a ton of message and didn't have service. So she was coming down and obviously the phone, the text thread was blowing up. So she started texting me and said, well, you know, why don't we call the midwife and see what we should do? Maybe we should plan on heading there. So like Rick said, my cousin and I, we decided to go walk. It was like 6 a.m. and we decided to go walk around the block. And man, my labor totally picked up after walking. We were doing curb walks. You go up and down the curbs. And we were just walking. And it was such a beautiful morning. Absolutely beautiful. The birds were chirping. It was July 1st. It was just Oh, such a great time of year. So yeah, so then we went to, we actually had gone to the birth center the night before too, to go get checked and just check on baby. I don't know if you remember that. They placed a Foley balloon, which is a catheter that they can fill up with saline that kind of pushes pressure on the cervix to try and help dilate. I think it was like 1 centimeter or something like that, but it popped on the way. So nothing really happened. So the next morning we went in, it was 9 a.m. and we met everybody there. My cousin had left at this point. She had stayed for a little bit actually. And then my doulas were there. So like Rick said, there were just so many people there. But do you remember arriving and anything about that?
No, I don't actually. Yeah. I think that the part that I do remember is hanging out outside of the birth center with Robin.
Tree. Yeah.
Who is like my favorite.
Yeah.
And just watching her. I mean, she just had her hands on your belly and was just calming you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to rewind a little bit. So we get to the birth center. She did do a cervical exam and she said, all right, we're going to stay. Let's go upstairs. So we go upstairs. And at that point, she hadn't told me what I was dilated to. But I knew I was dilated enough to stay, which for me, dilation was a big mental block because I had never made it past 3 before. And I never had made it past like 70% phased either. And I was told on my op reports, I don't know if you remember that day that I got the op reports and I was just like crying and so upset, but I was told on those op reports that I was failure to progress and that my pelvis was too small. So I was just kind of worried about dilating, but at the same time, it gave me some oomph because she said, let's go upstairs. So we went upstairs. I later learned that I was 4 centimeters, which was huge. And yeah, my baby just really was posterior and really having a hard time turning. So we did stairs. We walked up and down the stairs. And like Rick said, we went outside and we sat underneath this beautiful tree. I sat on like a peanut ball or something. I sat on a ball. And my one doula was behind me holding my belly. You were there. And then I had another doula. Yes, keeping me hydrated. And it was just, it was a beautiful time. It was a beautiful time. I really liked it. But yeah, then we went in. And I feel like that's from the point we went in, it started getting a little bit more serious. But you hadn't eaten. And it was like, okay, if we're going to take a turn, we need to get Rick food because we're going to have a baby soon. So do you remember you left for a little while? You remember leaving?
I don't.
Yeah, you went and got food.
No, I do remember leaving because that's when I came back and everybody had showed up.
Everybody was there.
Shown up.
Yeah, like everybody. Yeah. Yeah, so you left, which was kind of nice that you were able to kind of leave and decompress and maybe reset. Did it feel good to be able to leave? Did you feel nervous leaving?
No. Again, the benefit of having Robin there. Robin was kind of the main doula for me.
Yeah.
Right. She was always the one that would kind of talk to me and make sure that I was doing okay.
Yeah.
Which I was.
Yes. Which is good to know. Because yeah. I think that, I mean, hours and hours and hours into a labor, you could have easily been freaking out.
Yeah. I don't know why. It was just
it felt calming. Felt calming.
Yeah. It just seemed like we had a bunch of hands on deck and it, mm-hmm. that could have handled any mm-hmm. situation that presented itself. So yeah, I remember coming back. Had you moved to the room with the bed
mm-hmm.
yet?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
so I walked in.
Getting counter pressure.
I walked in and there was Courtney, Robin, Angie,
Hillary,
Angie, Danielle. Mm-hmm. There's five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, five.
Yeah, you said Courtney.
Yeah, there were five women there.
Surrounded around
me. And I walked in and there was such a relief. Like, I didn't have to do a thing. Like, I was like, I can just sit because I think I brought my food.
I think you might
have. And I just sat and ate and watched as you were getting pampered. Mm-hmm. And you were getting attended to by mm-hmm. these amazing.
You're such a princess. Women. I really, there was a point where they were, all of them like you said, all hands were on deck. They were all giving me counter pressure. They were all doing something. I mean, after you ate, do you remember when I was like, I need Rick?
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I've got like magic fists that I.
You have strength.
I basically punched my wife in the lower back over and over and over again. Like just as hard as, like just as much pressure as possible. For some reason, it worked for her. The other, those women are way stronger than I am.
They're so incredible.
But yeah, so we would go, I remember we would go between there and the bathroom that had the bathtub. Mm-hmm. I remember for a second we filled up the bathtub. You hung out in the bathtub for a while,
yeah,
and just kind of sat there. And you obviously just, you kept working yourself up because the progress wasn't quick enough. You know, baby wasn't coming fast enough. You were obviously uncomfortable.
It had been at least 35 hours at this point.
Yeah.
Of being in that tub.
And so you just kept trying to find the spot where you felt mm-hmm. would trigger things.
Yeah.
For the
labor. I was really trying to help get that baby to rotate. And so I was trying to move. Like every five contractions, I would reposition myself in that tub.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually
we went back into the
out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went back into the
bedroom. Yep.
And that's when Robin pulled me aside or maybe it was Danielle. I think it was Robin pulled me aside and she's like, hey, you were very much in your own head and starting to doubt yourself.
I was. Yeah.
And Robin said, hey, I think we need to leave.
We might need to leave. Yeah.
And no.
Oh, I don't actually know. I should correct you.
She was saying that the girls needed to leave, like all the women needed to leave, and it just needed to be me and you.
Oh.
And so they hung out for a little bit longer. We went back into the bathroom. Do you remember fainting on the toilet?
That was after, but I remember.
Oh, that was after the
birth? Yeah, that was after birth. But yes,
that was after birth.
So it was just you and I. So what happened was you all went out and Danielle and I were in the bathroom and she did like a NST on me. She was just checking the baby to make sure he was doing okay. And he was fantastic. A non-stress test.
Okay.
So they did a non-stress test on him and he was doing great. Everything was great. Weren't having any issues. I didn't have any fever. Cause again, it had been many hours since my water had broken. And I'm assuming that's when you were being talked to. And then I remember Danielle taking the machine out, like going out, and you coming in. And it was just you and me. And I was on the toilet. I was facing backwards, the dilation station. And it was really hot. That position is a really good one though. It really opens the hips. It just helps. And so I was there and I had a backpack, or not a backpack, I had a pillow.
You had everything.
I had a pillow, and then you were keeping me cool with rags and stuff. There's some pictures of you like even touching me, and just your touch was so amazing and did so much for me. I remember just absolutely loving it. And I think that's even more of why I was like, I need Rick, like for counter pressure. I was like, yes, your counter pressure was incredible. Like I just needed your touch too. And so anyway, but yeah, we were in the bathroom alone for a bit. Felt like a little bit.
Yeah. And you really started doubting yourself.
I really was getting down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she had just come in and done an NST. Even though she had said like, oh, your NST is great. I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to think, you know, whatever, like they're going to transfer me. I'm going to have a C-section. Really, yeah. And well,
the one lady had come in and said that you should transfer. So a midwife who wasn't our midwife, who was at the center, I think she was
with another mom.
I think she was frustrated that we were taking so long.
Yeah. She was.
But she had mentioned the hospital word, and that
really impacted
set
me.
You off. Yeah.
Yeah.
You immediately started feeling doubting yourself.
Yeah.
Which up until this point, I don't think you had.
I mean, I was like in my head, I was like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever. And it's like getting really strong, but like we're not going anywhere. So I was thinking that, but when she said the words, I remember she wasn't very great. Her bedside manner was not very great. She like checked me and I was like 6 centimeters, which was great, but I'd kind of been just lagging. And she was like, I think it's time to go to the hospital or something like that. And I think that's when she probably told the midwife, and then the midwife came in and did NST. But we were in there, and then one of our other doulas came in, and I turned to her and I said, are they going to transfer me? And she just said, honesty, which I really appreciated. And I really encourage doulas, if you're listening, be honest with your clients. Honesty is so important. But she just said, they're looking at things. It's one of the things they may consider. And I was like, okay, we got to do something here.
No, that's not what you did.
In my head, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, you got really down on yourself.
I did.
This is when I turned into Super Megan and was like, no, you got this. We can do this. Like, yes. You've worked so hard. You've done everything in your power to make sure that we would have the baby here. Let's have the baby here. So you keep doing what you're doing, and it will happen. That was the one time when I think I was the one that was pushing more for having the VBAC than you were. And what was it, like 5 minutes later, Danielle comes in and she's like, all right, we're good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She like came in, she had me turn around.
Well, you'd been checked. Sorry. Before. So let's go back a little bit. Right before, it was just you and I in the bathroom. Yeah. You had been checked
before that,
and you were like an 8.5 or a 9.
Oh, So I was 6 when the other midwife checked. She had come. Yeah. She had checked me right before. And I was like,
probably a half hour passed.
Yeah.
And then when we were left alone in the bath, right before we were left alone in the bathroom, Danielle checked you and you were like a 9. I don't know what everything else means, but I think that Webb wasn't in
a good position.
A great position though.
He wasn't. And I don't know if you remember, but first of all, I was already having back labor. So now my baby was really low. I was dilated pretty far and I wanted to push. I don't know if I remember. I was like trying to push, but they were like, you're not dilated.
You thought you were going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I kept thinking that. So I was like living on the toilet, and then she came in, and I think that they had been listening. It really wasn't that long. And yeah, she checked me. And what she did is she kind of advanced my cervix. So I was 9 centimeters. My baby was posterior, and she stretched my cervix over his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. She like manually me to a 10.
She assisted.
She assisted. And as soon as she did that, it was like, oh my gosh, this baby is coming. And she brought in this stool. Yeah. She brought in the stool and everyone flooded the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is insane. There's so many people in this small bathroom. And yeah, I sat on the stool and I think I put my feet, you were right behind me. And yep. I think I put my feet on someone's, well, at least one of my feet on a shoulder, someone's shoulder. And
Courtney.
Courtney was taking pictures.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But yeah, I put my foot on someone and I started pushing. She's like, let's have a baby. And I still in that moment was like, no, it's not going to happen. Like this isn't happening. How am I pushing a baby out now? It was like, so, I don't know if it's euphoric. Like it was really weird. Like I didn't.
It was exciting.
It was super exciting, but like, I didn't believe it. Like I didn't believe that what was happening was happening.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember they asked me if I wanted to catch the baby. Yeah. I was like, definitely don't. And then they asked if you wanted to catch the baby, yeah. Which because of where you were at in the stool, you were able to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I pushed, and within one push, he made really great progress. He had rotated because I did not give birth to him posterior. So he had rotated, and yeah, it was like one push, major movement, second push, major movement. And then I just remember sitting there and it was really quiet. And there was another mom in the next room also pushing. She was a VBAC, and I was like, I'm going to have this baby before her. Like I made it a competition a little bit. It seemed like we were kind of on and off. So when I was pushing, she was not. When she was pushing, I wasn't. And the next contraction, Danielle looked at me and I remember just her eyes. And I was like, it's going to happen. And I mean, I felt it. I felt a lot of pressure. So I pushed him out, pulled him up, put him on my chest. And I don't know, were you crying?
No, you were
behind me. I was bawling.
Yeah.
And everybody else, I feel like, was bawling, just like all the women in the room that they had just gone through this whole experience with me, not just the labor, but like the journey of like wanting the VBAC. And then also as like a doula, you know, watching me just want this VBAC. And so anyway, so we were all crying. And then I don't actually, you'll have to say, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you passed out. So I was behind you with my arms around you and the baby, and you'd been crying. And I mean, with the emotion, with all the hard work, you suddenly just went limp. And so I just told one of the doulas, I said, hey, can one of you guys grab the kid? Because Megan just passed out and we need to wake her up, but she's the one holding the baby. So they grabbed Webb and
gave him to you, right?
No.
Oh, really?
No, I hung out with you while they had the baby.
Oh,
and then
I didn't know that.
You came too. And did they start? I remember they cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah, because they took the baby.
Yeah, they took the baby somewhere.
They cut the umbilical cord and
I was just focused on you because you
pictures of you holding the baby
because you had passed out
and me on the ground. So I just assumed they handed the baby to you
eventually.
Okay. Yeah. So. Something, I don't know. I woke up pretty quick. It was pretty quick, it seemed like.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and then I just was on the floor and I was just beaming and laughing and just so stinking happy. And then we went into the bedroom and I nursed for a while and was doing really, really well. And they're like, okay, let's get you to the bathroom and showered and then you can go home. And what happened?
You passed out again.
I passed out again.
Yep. You woke up on the floor. No, you had just sat up on the side of the bed and you passed out. I did have Webb in my hands at this time. And you passed out. Luckily, another doula had come. So we had a fresh one, Rachel. And you woke up laughing. You're like, oh, I'm on the floor again.
I was like, why does this keep happening?
And then, but you really wanted to go to the bathroom. So we went, and then you and I just went to the bathroom and you sat down on the potty and you passed out again.
Yeah. And Robin came in, and I remember waking up and you and Robin were right there.
Yeah. So we had to pick you up. So we hung out in the birth center a lot longer than we would have. And I think you ended up going to sleep.
I did.
I think because I was next to you and then Webb was between us. Mm-hmm. I was super worried about like rolling over on him or you rolling over on him. So, but I think we hung out there for a couple of hours. They checked on him. They checked on you. And then I just remember how amazing it was to go home.
Yeah.
That night. I mean, it was later. I think it was like 11 o'clock at night.
He was born at like 5:30 and it was like 11.
Yeah.
That we finally were stable enough to go home.
So odd being told, hey, look, you can go home now.
I know.
Like he didn't have to wait in the nursery. He didn't have to do any of that. We were just able to go home and we came home. We had the crib in our room and we put him in the crib and we slept great that night.
Yeah, we did.
He did too.
Yeah.
He did awesome. Like, I think he woke up once or twice to feed, but he was so calm. So, and just, I mean, from my perspective, seeing you accomplish what you wanted. And for those of you who are unaware, I told Megan unequivocally that this was our last child. So this is her last opportunity. She wouldn't have had another opportunity after this. And so it was really fun to see you accomplish what you had wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I mean, it truly did. It took a village. You had so much help. We had so much help. I had no idea what I was doing. And it was awesome because I had no idea what I was doing. And everybody else who was there knew exactly what they were doing. And they did such a good job.
Yeah. So obviously you would advocate for a doula.
Well, 100%. When people come up to me and ask me what a doula is, I tell them it's what the perfect partner would be and how they would act and how they would treat their partner during birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, they were fantastic. Again, being able to leave and come back knowing that you were 100% taken care of. Like, obviously I had my spot there. I don't feel like I was minimized. My role was minimized at all. There were a bunch of times when you would have me step in when I would need to get in there and help. But I was able to focus on being there for you. And they were able to show me, hey, look, Rick, here's where she wants you to push. I remember that you had kind of showed, and I think Robin or Angie said, hey, this is the spot where she needs you to push. But just being able to, I remember when we were out under the tree, I was able to look at you because Robin was holding you from behind. Yeah. And that was a big deal because it was, I mean, Robin was obviously there and it was just serene having her with us, but it very much felt like a moment between just you and I, because we were able to just kind of sit there and be with each other and talk to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It just helped the connection and the bond and everything. I love doulas so much. And I love you, and I am so grateful that we were able to have this journey together. Do you have any advice to a dad who may be in the spot that I put you in?
Yeah, I'm sorry. first and foremost, I apologize to you because that's rough, a rough spot to be in. No, honestly, the trust your partner. Trust the mom. They know things better than you do. And again, for us, it's really easy because you get your way 99% of the time in our marriage. But seeing how things ended, how everything happened, it just showed me that, yeah, I can trust her. And I know that she's listening to her body and she'll know what needs to happen.
Yeah. I love that you point out that I was listening to my body, because I think that can be a hard thing for any dad or partner to understand, because there's this weird innate thing inside of us. And it's like, it just felt so right to birth vaginally after 2 C-sections. And then it also felt right to birth out of the hospital. So thank you for supporting me through all of that and for being there. And I can't believe our baby boy is 8 years old today. So happy birthday, Webster. We love you so stinking much.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.